This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, folks. Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, joins us every Thursday in the noon segment, and we appreciate same. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. How are you?
Rafi, there was a story the other day in NOLA.com about French Quarter killings rising to 17-year high despite drop in violent crime in New Orleans. There seems to be more to that story. Tell us about it.
Right. So, like everyone else, I saw that story. And because of the analysis that we do following the numbers, I decided to do a little bit deeper dive to try and put that story in some context. And I'd like to share it with you and your audience today. So we took a look at the last 3 years of fatal versus non-fatal shootings in all eight districts. And I'm going to start off by just talking about the eighth district because that was the subject matter of the story that was in the newspaper earlier this week. So the Times-Picayune reported that there were eight homicides in the eighth district as of this week in August, and that was a 17-year high. So I went back and looked at the last 3 years of not just homicides, but fatal and non-fatal shootings in the 8th District, which is, the French Quarter. And what I found was in 2022, there were a total of 20 fatal and non-fatal shootings, with seven of them being homicides. In 2023, there were a total of 19 fatal and non-fatal shootings with three homicides. And in 2024, there were a total of 20 fatal and non-fatal shootings in the 8th District, with eight of them being homicides. So what we're seeing and what those numbers show is the French Quarter shooting is very, very consistent over the last 3 years. And if the eight homicides, I didn't go back and look at 17 years worth of data, I just looked at 3 years worth of data. If eight was the high water mark as of August the 25th of 2024, and I look back at 23's numbers and 22 numbers, and in 22 there were seven homicides, the homicides, just looking at those numbers don't give you the complete picture. You need to look at how many times somebody took out a gun and actually fired it, because the intent of people firing guns is usually to kill somebody. And right. What we've seen is that the number of times that a firearm was discharged that resulted in someone being injured or killed over the last 3 years in the 8th District deviates on an annual basis by one shooting. It was 20 in 22, There were 19 in 2023, and there were a total of 20 in 2024. So the variable is the aim of the person pulling the trigger, or the luck or the lack thereof of who gets in the way of some of the bullets that, you know, are flying around in the French Quarter. And what we see is that when there were 20 shootings in 2022, seven of them resulted in a homicide. When there were 19 shootings in 2023 through August the 25th of 2023, there were only three homicides. And unfortunately this year, 20 shootings, but eight of them have resulted in homicides by shootings. So that number right there, I think, are those looking at all of those numbers, puts that story that was in the newspaper maybe in a different context. And I think that, you know, it's important to understand that the 8th District is a very, very different district to police than the other 7 districts. But what I mean by that is in, you know, the 1st through the 7th District, the district commanders know who the problem offenders are in their districts. They know the hot spots so they can identify who the perpetrators are, who the problems are, and they can deploy their resources proactively to address that. But in the 8th District, it's very, very different because the 8th District has solved all but one of the homicides that have occurred this year. So they've made at least 7 arrests for homicides this year. None of those 7 suspects that were arrested for homicide resided in the 8th District. So the 8th District is the area that the criminal population from other parts of town migrates into on nights and weekends, looking for opportunities to commit crimes. And part of the reason that they go down to the French Quarter, if you're going to commit an armed robbery, if you're going to commit a carjacking, there are, you know, at any given time, there's anywhere from 2 to 4 times the numbers of people that actually reside in the 8th District concentrated in the French Quarter. So I kind of compare that with, I like to watch some of the National Geographic channel and, you know, watch the predator and the prey type of things. And so the predators, which are the criminal offenders, are looking for the prey, and there's a concentration of prey in the French Quarter on any given night. So the offenders that are looking for opportunities to arm, rob, they're usually going to pick out someone that's on foot, a pedestrian. And there's a great concentration of offenders, of prey that offenders can prey upon in the French Quarter at any given time. The fact that the population of the French Quarter expands and contracts by 2, 3, sometimes 4 times the population of the people that live in the district creates an additional challenge to police that district. So on any given night, different offenders could be migrating into the 8th District, and the 8th District has to be able to respond to that. Now, to their credit, you know, they have solved all but one of the homicides that have occurred in the 8th District. I attribute the high solve rate in large part to the crime camera system that's in place down there. But the 8th District is very, very different from a policing standpoint and some of the challenges of policing the 8th District than what we see in the other 7 districts in the city of New Orleans.
And the 8th District would have had a greater amount of what I call the pandemic effect, right? When you're coming out of the pandemic, that area was completely and totally shut down. I mean, there was little or no activity at all, right, during the pandemic there. Then you have this resurgence. It's the entertainment district, that and the Marinese, the entertainment district of the city. And typically when you see this disruption, when it comes back with a force, right? You have people going there that I would venture to say had never been there before. People that are living here had never been to the quarter before, but went to the quarter because that was the first outlet that they had in the immediate after, you know, immediately after the pandemic. And it kind of grows exponentially for a period of time. And I think that's what's happened in 23 going into 24.
Well, exactly. So the high water mark as far as crime in the city of New Orleans was 2022. So essentially, we were coming out of the pandemic in 2022. 2020 and 2021 were pandemic years. So 2022, things are sort of returning to normal, so to speak. That's why I went back 3 years to look at these numbers. And, you know, when you take a look, some of the success that the police department has had in other parts of town, I think, you know, are really amazing. So I went into this looking into numbers just involving the 8th district. But as I look at the other 7th districts, the decline in shootings and homicides. I mean, I know we put those numbers out every week, and we talk about it. But looking at it on a single sheet of paper. So, for instance, in the 7th district in 2022, as of August 25th of 2022, there were a total of 142 fatal and non-fatal shootings in the 7th district. That number declined in 23 down to 117 fatal and non-fatal shootings. And in 2024, we're looking at 57. So in the 7th district, you're looking at almost a two-thirds reduction in shootings, fatal and non-fatal, over the span of 2 years. That's an accomplishment. And you see that across the board, district by district by district, the French Quarter remains relatively the same. In large part, you know, I think they do a good job of keeping crime down. In fact, I checked, crime this year in the 8th district is down 12, violent crime is down 12% this year, year to date, versus last year, year to date. And property crime is down 10% this year versus last year, year to date. And those types of accomplishments are not just unique to the 8th district. We're seeing them virtually in every district in the city of New Orleans. And I think that that's, you know, a good sign. We're still stuck on about 900 officers on paper, probably closer to 800 in reality. And the fact that 800 officers can drive down crime the way that we're doing is a testament to the fact that they are, I think, leaning into proactive policing. They're leaning into technology. We also have the benefit of operations like Operation Clean House, where you had 20 different federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies come together in the month of June to identify some of the most dangerous, violent, and repeat offenders operating in the New Orleans area, and they made 155 felony arrests in 1 month. So those arrests, those people being taken off the streets, are going to result in lower crime rates, you know, in July, August, September, through the end of the year. So there's a lot of good things that are happening from a public safety perspective. I think you're starting to see the criminal justice system respond in a way that I haven't seen in many years in this city, and that bodes well for the future.
No doubt. At some point, though, just not to diminish this, but you always end up wanting to look at incidents per capita, right? And New Orleans has always had a high incidence rate per capita. The reductions are great, and you want to continue on that trend for a period of time. There is going to be a reckoning, though, as to whether or not where this plateaus out and whether or not we are at the national average of the incident rates per capita. And it was something that we always looked at in Jefferson Parish. And even though in many years we were driving crime down, we still had a fairly high incidence rate. And until, you know, you continue to push that number down, push it down. In Jefferson Parish the other day, they reported UCR Part 1 crime offense is probably going to be, again, less than 10,000, which was always a goal for me. When you go back to the early 90s, they had like 31 or 32,000, you know, UCR Part 1 crime offenses. So then, you know, you get it down, and when you're looking at your peers across the country, you know, you evaluate the comparison of that incidence rate per capita, and that's going to be a telling number, and it's always a little bit more sobering sometimes, but still, it doesn't diminish the gains that they're making today.
Well, no, and the reason that I think that this can be sustained and actually accelerated is because they're using different technologies now. Yeah, they're using different approaches. So a lot of the violent crime, you know, of the 80s, 90s, and even into, you know, the teens of 2020, you know, the 17, 18, 19, a lot of the arrests for violent crime were based on eyewitness identifications. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing crime cameras. So you don't have to rely on one witness's memory. You're able to produce photographs and or video. You're also seeing ballistics being used to link the offenders, you know, that were involved in shootings to the crimes that were committed with those firearms. You're seeing DNA used. You're seeing a bunch of technologies that, you know, we've seen on TV for years. We're starting to see that incorporated into the fabric of the law enforcement community. And I think that the solve rates and the advent and growth of technology is going to lead to higher solve rates or continued high solve rates going forward. And hopefully that has somewhat of a deterrent effect on offenders that are going to realize that they cross the line, they break the law. There is a very, very good chance that they're going to be held accountable, identified, and brought to justice.
There is no doubt that even today, they still have a little bit of a less than the most robust crime lab. And they have no DNA lab, right?
Right. And it's going to be probably 2028 before that comes online. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and I have always said that if you don't control it, you can count on it not happening, right?
Yep.
And so they've had these successes without a lot of control of a lot of the forensic activity that goes on. And as that improves, I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. That puts them in a much better position to be able to succeed and carry this trend into the future. And you know, you always hope that that's the case. You got to keep it adequately funded, adequately staffed, or it means nothing. But if they're able to do that and keep their eye on that, on the forensic ball, so to speak, I agree. I think solving a lot of these cases and linking link analysis of a lot of these perpetrators becomes second nature and a lot easier. To achieve
Absolutely.
These successes.
Absolutely. And a few weeks ago, I met with the head of the new crime lab that's trying to stand this thing up. Keep this in mind. This isn't the police department's fault. Our crime lab was destroyed during Katrina. And here we are in 2024 on the anniversary of Katrina. And we're still waiting for our crime lab to have DNA capabilities. So that's not on the police department. The fact that that crime lab didn't even open until earlier this year or late last year, I can't remember when, is really an embarrassment, I think, to the city of New Orleans and the city leadership to not prioritize that. And it took us, you know, all that time to get our crime lab open. It's going to take a couple of more years before the DNA capabilities of this crime lab are certified, and we don't have to outsource our DNA testing to the Louisiana State Police Crime Lab.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, you know, everybody, when you're going to the state police, you're competing against all the other parishes, especially
Absolutely.
The smaller parishes. You know, everybody's looking for a little bit of time. And I used to remind folks all the time, I think we had 6 DNA technicians when we first opened. Those technicians in throughput time were capable of doing, I think it was either 2,100 or 2,300 samples a year. And, you know, so when you're going on scenes and people are grabbing 12, 14, 16, 18 samples, you can't do that. You'll consume it all and you're not, you won't have enough, you know, to handle cases. So you got to prioritize, and there's an art to doing that in evidence collection, because the throughput is still not that great, you know, so it just requires a heightened attention to this technology. But not having it at all, or not having access to more, it puts you behind the eight ball.
Sometimes
I scratch my head and I wonder, it could have been a lot worse, you know, this crime picture without any like forensic support on the back end for a number of years. I mean, and that's
absolutely
kind of telling too. And I don't know that we ever really talked about that, about how bad it could have been otherwise. So something to think about.
Well, yeah,
we'll
so
be right back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche. Let us get to this break and we'll pick it up there, Rafi. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
We are visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, you wanted to finish a point. I apologize for interrupting.
Well, yeah, no. So, though, the numbers that have been achieved without having the in-house forensic capabilities at the NOPD is starting to rebuild is, I think, highlights, you know, what, how many advances and how forward-thinking the police department is. So they don't have the in-house capabilities of many other law enforcement agencies. But despite that negative, despite those deficiencies, they've used their available resources to drive down violent crime over the past 2 years. That is pretty it's a remarkable achievement. And I think that's the reason when that crime lab becomes fully operational and they can do everything that most other departments take for granted in-house, that's the reason I believe that, you know, that the rate of decline that we've experienced can be maintained and it will actually accelerate as the police department is able to, you know, handle their own forensic investigations rather than farm out. So the people that are in charge of the crime lab now, they're amazing people. I've met them. I've been briefed on what they're doing. And I can assure the public that they're going to like what they see going forward from their crime lab as this crime lab grows to maturity and begins to do the things that, unfortunately, we haven't been able to do since Katrina in-house.
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting to me as well, and I had this conversation in the segment right before you, Rafi, with Michael Glasser, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of it, but, you know, just when you look at the state of the district stations, we were talking about, you know, that about two-thirds of them are in good shape and the other third is not in such good shape, and you let this thing get away from you and you still, you wonder, well, how bad could the staffing get, you know, with no forensics, no DNA, you're not properly maintaining facilities. You know, I've heard complaints about no toilet paper in the bathroom, no paper for the copy machine. I mean, the work, you know, it goes on and on and on, and it's like, okay. I mean, you know, I guess when you add it all up, you could look at it and say things could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Well, you know, again, so that I think is a testament to the commitment of the men and women of the department. You know, they're professionals.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And, you know, what you're describing is a failure of the city to support the most important foundational aspect of any community, and that's public safety, law enforcement. And, you know, that's,
yeah, no
you know,
doubt.
Shame on the city administration for not, you know, providing the
and
resources.
Not only this
to
one.
Keep... Yeah. No, I agree. That's
not
why,
only
you know,
this one, right?
This goes back
decades.
Know. Yeah. You know, keep in mind that we've had, you know, three mayors since Katrina. And, you know, we're still waiting to rebuild our crime lab and get it up and operational. So this is on the head of, you know, the last several mayors and all of this. But, you know, it's unconscionable that officers have to come to work and they have to bring their own toiletries. They don't have air conditioning. You know, we just are finally getting to the point where we've automated the police department's police report writing and data entry. So there's a press conference today announcing that. So keep in mind that, you know, we spent a couple of $100,000 under the leadership of Terrell Morris to bring in a operating system that wasn't compatible with the city of New Orleans, never could get it to work. So that money was lost. It was flushed down the toilet. And today the police department is announcing a new system that's in place, and this will work, and this is a system that's been used by law enforcement agencies all over the country. So the decisions that are holding the police department back aren't decisions made by the police department. They're decisions made by the executive, in some instances, the legislative branch of government. And the police department, despite the lack of resources, is keeping their eye on the ball. I think they're operating professionally, and what they've been accomplished under some, you know, what they've accomplished under some dire circumstances is nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah, and it's really a shame that we don't have these priorities in place day in and day out for them. I mean, it's I say this all the time, and I hate to be redundant. It's not rocket science.
Yep.
Placing the attention where the attention has to be in prioritization, you know, and we're often running on all kinds of programs that they're all great, they're all worthy, but in the end, you know, you can't do that to the detriment of others that are much more important than a priority. So let's talk about, you have an event coming up in September. We're going to broadcast live from there. And why don't you give us the particulars of that, and let's talk about the awardees that you will honor at that event.
All right. So we have our annual fundraiser, which is coming up September the 12th, which will be at the Sheraton on Canal Street, 500 Canal Street, noon to 1:30. And it's the only event that the public can come to a public meeting, and they can kind of hear and see what we've done and what's been accomplished. And really the keystone of this awards luncheon is to acknowledge the fine work of the men and women of law enforcement agencies, police and prosecutors that collaborate together to achieve some really remarkable accomplishments. So we usually highlight a couple of cases in which police and prosecutors work together to bring, you know, violent or repeat offenders to justice. And this has become sort of the local Academy Awards for law enforcement in the greater New Orleans area. And one of the groups that we're going to be acknowledging, and there'll be a couple of others, maybe we can talk about them in the future. But this is one that I think shows and gives the public a flavor of why is it that crime is coming down? You know, what does law enforcement actually do? We see all these crime shows on TV, but, you know, these are actual crime scenes. These are actual crimes that have been perpetrated in and around the greater New Orleans area. And one of the groups that we're going to be acknowledging is the Bogalusa Police Department, the Louisiana State Police, and the 22nd Judicial District Attorney's Office. So this case started in 2021 when a then 18-year-old Andrew Purnell went on a violent crime spree in the town of Bogalusa, which is located in Washington Parish across the lake. So as an 18-year-old, over about a 30-day period, he went on a shooting spree in which he murdered one person. A few weeks later, was involved in a drive-by shooting where he sprayed a house with two adults and a child with bullets. Fortunately, no one was injured in that. And another week later, he attacked a child getting off of the school bus walking home and shot him. Fortunately, that child didn't die. So in the course of a month, one murder, one drive-by shooting, and then another attempt murder. And it was the third event that occurred that the Bogalusa Police Department was able to get a break. So they quickly responded after he shot a 13-year-old boy getting off of his school bus to go home. He fired 9 shots at that young man, struck him several times with bullets, and he had to be airlifted out. Fortunately, as I said, the young man, his victim, didn't die, but he had to undergo extensive rehabilitation. But Bogalusa Police Department responded quickly, and apparently Mr. Purnell crashed his car and had to flee on foot. The Bogalusa Police Department apprehended him, secured the area. They were able to locate the 9mm handgun that he used to shoot the 13-year-old boy. And they were able to use the state police crime lab to extract DNA from the handgun. And that DNA evidence from the handgun showed that that was, in fact, the gun that was used by Mr. Purnell to shoot that 13-year-old boy. Ballistics tests also linked that 9mm handgun to the murder that occurred a couple of weeks earlier in 2021, as some of those 9mm cartridges were found at the scene of the crime of the young man that he gunned down in late August of 2021. So the Bogalusa Police Department, after recovering that and linking those weapons, they obtained a search warrant for his house, and they recovered the AK-47 that was used at the two prior crime scenes in Purnell's bedroom. And they were able to link the ballistics of the early August shooting with a homicide and the drive-by shooting with that AK-47. So the St. Tammany District Attorney's Office indicted him on murder, attempt murder charges, drive-by shooting, and a variety of other felonies. And that case went to trial in June of this year. And the district attorney's office, with the evidence that was compiled by the Bogalusa Police Department and the Louisiana State Police, they called 27 witnesses during the five-day trial. And the defendant, Mr. Purnell, now 21 years old, was observed making obscene gestures during the trial with some of the juvenile witnesses that testified against him. He was observed forming his hands into the shape of a gun when another witness was testifying against him in an attempt to threaten or intimidate that witness. But, you know, because of the quality of the evidence that was compiled by the investigative agencies and because of the manner in which that evidence was presented by prosecutors to the jury, so this is a five-day trial, over 27 witnesses. The jury took all of 27 minutes before returning a series of guilty verdicts against Andrew Purnell that included second-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, assault by drive-by shootings. And on August the 5th of this year, he was sentenced to life at hard labor without ability for probation or parole in that. He's sentenced to life plus 50 years for the attempted murder, and those sentences are supposed to run consecutive to each other. So he'll serve his life sentence, and then he'll serve his 50-year sentence after that. So
I love when they connect the dots and they make these cases that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really good to hear. We got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, let's talk about auto thefts. That's been a problematic situation in the city of New Orleans for a while now. Where do we stand?
Well, so 2024 versus 2023, auto thefts are down 47%. So in 2023, we were averaging about 21 automobile thefts a day. That number has been decreased to 11 per day. And, I want to know the why. So I asked my staff to tell me how many individuals have been arrested for auto theft-related offenses by the NOPD and the LSP as of August the 25th. And there have been 273 of those arrests.
Wow.
So, you know, those types of arrests, you know, have a deterrent effect because we don't have a new offender for every offense. Many of the people that are arrested for an automobile theft have been involved in other automobile thefts that they weren't necessarily arrested for. So when you have the problem that we've experienced in this city, you have a finite number of offenders that are responsible for a disproportionate number of those automobile thefts. And what these numbers reflect to me, the 273 arrests, is that the police department and the Louisiana State Police are recognizing, you know, this as a problem, and they are addressing it. So they're looking at automobiles that may be driving around without a license plate. And when they stop those vehicles, sometimes they have to give pursuit, but most of the time when they stop them, they find out that those vehicles were stolen. And the individuals that are in those cars may be wanted for other crimes. And the individuals that maybe fled the police department or the state police that are apprehended, they are recovering firearms in the car and drugs, and they're finding out that they're convicted felons in possession of firearms. So what you're seeing is that law enforcement has identified a problem, and they are using their available resources to target that problem, and they're doing it effectively, as the statistics indicate that we've received year-to-date or achieved year-to-date a substantial 47% decline in the average rate of automobile thefts in the city of New Orleans.
No, that's huge. And, I mean, that's because that number at 21, I mean, those numbers were going off the rails, right? And
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And obviously the level of frustration in the community was as well. You work hard to buy a nice car, and, you know, and so, you know, the public trust was eroding, I think, in large measure because of auto thefts.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, again, so we've got 800 police officers. And when someone dials 911, the police department has to triage how they respond to calls. And if a car is reported stolen, that means the vehicle's already gone, and an officer has to prioritize that they're going to respond to a call for violence, which means that the people who lost their cars feel frustrated that it's taking the police so long to get to their calls for service, which undermines public confidence in law enforcement. So what the police department has done is that, you know, by the time someone dials 911, that means a crime has already been perpetrated. So the department and the Louisiana State Police are proactively trying to identify potential stolen cars. And when they do that, they pull the people over and they can arrest them for either possessing or stealing the car or other felonies related to that automobile theft. Means that those offenders are being held accountable. And even if they get out on bail, there's a good likelihood that they will be ordered to wear an electronic monitor as an adult. And the locations of individuals wearing monitors are shared with law enforcement. So the NOPD and the LSP can run geolocations to determine if anyone wearing a monitor was at the scene of a crime when the crime was perpetrated. And that includes automobile theft. So, you know, what we're seeing is strategies being deployed by the LSP and the NOPD, and they're effectively bringing down the auto theft rate year to date in the city of New Orleans.
A lot of good news report today, so that's encouraging for sure. Rafi Garnett, as always, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Go Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Tigers, go Wave tonight. They play Southeast Louisiana, Thursday night game, starting out the collegiate season as well. Looking forward to watching both games. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way, so stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have headed their way, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the anniversary of Hurricanes Katrina and Ida tonight. CNN host Dana Bash is going to interview Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Is she going to ask the tough questions? I think she has to. But what would you like to ask them? I'll give you my favorite question. Also, Trump is introducing oral sex into the campaign, and J.D. Vance told Kamala Harris to go to hell. I mean, he might know something about that. I could be wrong, but anyway, we'll talk about that. And this is the beginning of Labor Day weekend.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We will see you guys in the morning. Have a great Thursday evening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, let's talk about auto thefts. That's been a problematic situation in the city of New Orleans for a while now. Where do we stand?
Well, so 2024 versus 2023, auto thefts are down 47%. So in 2023, we were averaging about 21 automobile thefts a day. That number has been decreased to 11 per day. And, you know, I want to know the why. So I asked my staff to tell me how many individuals have been arrested for auto theft related offenses by the NOPD and the LSP as of August the 25th. And there have been 273 of those arrests.
Wow.
So, you know, those types of arrests, you know, have a deterrent effect, because we don't have a new offender for every offense. Many of the people that are arrested for an automobile theft have been involved in other automobile thefts that they weren't necessarily arrested for. So when you have the problem that we've experienced in this city, you have a finite number of offenders that are responsible for a disproportionate number of those automobile thefts. And what these numbers reflect to me, the 273 arrests, is that the police department and the Louisiana State Police are recognizing, you know, this as a problem, and they are addressing it. So they're looking at automobiles that may be driving around without a license plate. And when they stop those vehicles, sometimes they have to give pursuit, but most of the time when they stop them, they find out that those vehicles were stolen. And the individuals that are in those cars may be wanted for other crimes. And the individuals that maybe fled the police department or the state police that are apprehended, they are recovering firearms in the car and drugs, and they're finding out that they're convicted felons in possession of firearms. So what you're seeing is that law enforcement has identified a problem, and they are using their available resources to target that problem, and they're doing it effectively, as the statistics indicate that we've received year-to-date or achieved year-to-date a substantial 47% decline in the average rate of automobile thefts in the city of New Orleans.
No, that's huge. And I mean, that's because that number at 21, I mean, those numbers were going off the rails, right? And
Absolutely.
And obviously the level of frustration in the community was as well. You work hard to buy a car, and, you know, and so, you know, the public trust was eroding, I think, in large measure because of auto thefts.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, again, so we've got 800 police officers. And when someone dials 911, the police department has to triage how they respond to calls. And if a car is reported stolen, that means the vehicle's already gone, and an officer has to prioritize that they're going to respond to a call for violence, which means that the people who lost their cars feel frustrated that it's taking the police so long to get to their calls for service, which undermines public confidence in law enforcement. So what the police department has done is that, you know, by the time someone dials 911, that means a crime has already been perpetrated. So the department and the Louisiana State Police are proactively trying to identify potential stolen cars. And when they do that, they pull the people over, and they can arrest them for either possessing or stealing the car or other felonies related to that automobile theft. Means that those offenders are being held accountable. And even if they get out on bail, there's a good likelihood that they will be ordered to wear an electronic monitor as an adult. And the locations of individuals wearing monitors are shared with law enforcement, so the NOPD and the LSP can run geolocations to determine if anyone wearing a monitor was at the scene of a crime when the crime was perpetrated. and that includes automobile theft. So, you know, what we're seeing is strategies being deployed by the LSP and the NOPD, and they're effectively bringing down the auto theft rate year to date in the city of New Orleans.
A lot of good news report today, so that's encouraging for sure. Rafi Garnett, as always, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Go Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Tigers, go Wave tonight. They play Southeast Louisiana, Thursday night game, starting out the collegiate season as well. Looking forward to watching both games. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way, so stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have headed their way, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the anniversary of Hurricanes Katrina and Ida. Tonight, CNN host Dana Bash is going to interview Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Is she going to ask the tough questions? I think she has to. But what would you like to ask them? I'll give you my favorite question. Trump is introducing oral sex into the campaign, and J.D. Vance told Kamala Harris to go to hell. I mean, he might know something about that. I could be wrong, but anyway, we'll talk about that. And this is the beginning of Labor Day weekend.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We will see you guys in the morning. Have a great Thursday evening.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.